Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James with the rejection.
Greer putting the ball on a play. He gets it out deep and Havlicek steals it.
Who's going to guard Karl Malone? Barkley. They got Akeem on Antoine Carr.
Russell will inbound at half court.
Uh-oh.
Stockton, open three. Hit it! John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals.
We appreciate you joining us on Name Change Pending today. Make sure and jump on Twitter. Follow your hosts, Brian Priest at BPriest24, Tommy Girone at Ruthless_Lupe, and Josh Keel at Rise and Shout. Also, we know that you're busy, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your day and give us a 5-star rating on your podcatcher of choice, that would be so amazing. Help us move up those algorithms. I don't totally understand how they work, but I know with some 5-star ratings, the podcast shows up higher on the lists. And we want to help other people find the show, don't we? Doesn't really matter what you say for us. Maybe suggest some new verses for Ruthless Lupe. But thanks again for joining us, and stay tuned for more episodes of Name Change Pending.
Welcome into Northwest Division Name Change Pending. We're going to be doing an NBA season preview. We'll have each division, starting today with the Northwest Division. Josh has been tasked with prepping this one. He's going to tell us all about it. Tommy and I will have witty banter occasionally. Go ahead.
All right. It's been a little while since I've been on the show, so welcome back to me.
Yeah, Josh is the epitome of lack of commitment lately.
Lack of commitment in what's the other part? No.
I don't know. I don't know. But just make sure you're talking into the mic and talking normally.
I know. I have a problem with
you
that.
Could see
okay.
The
I really
nose
like
on
to
this
get
guy.
That sultry voice going.
It's for the ladies.
Sounds nasally.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the Portland Trailblazers.
Yes. There we go.
Mm-hmm. Rashid.
So.
All right, Josh. Portland Trailblazers.
Rashid. All right. So the Portland Trailblazers, they were 53-29 last year. I think their most memorable play was that shot that Dame Dollar hit on Paul. I know, I said the wrong name. I fixed it myself.
It's not that, Dame Dollar. Is there a
it's
different
Dame Dollar?
Dame Dollar?
Dollar? No, I said Dame Dollar. Money, not Dame Dollar.
You said Dame. It, either way.
Dame
yeah,
Dollar.
I mean, you know.
I like Dame Money a little bit better.
Yeah. I mean, that shot was money. That's why I got confused. But anyway, Dame Dollar is back. Also,
Dollar.
Coming off a strong rap battle with Shaq this summer.
Yeah. So, I mean, real quick on that, I don't want to get too distracted, but Dame is a superior rapper.
Mm-hmm.
How do you beat Shaq in a rap battle, though? Because as far as accomplishments, Shaq has all day to throw crap at you, from the championships to his various movies that have been very successful. Kazam was a wonderful film.
Yeah, but did you hear the raps?
He's working with the General and
he owns
with
Papa
John's.
Papa John's. Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, they had to oust the owner.
Hate pizza.
Hate pizza. I just think Dame's biting off more than he can chew there.
See, but did you hear the raps?
No, I haven't listened to them.
Because the raps, it's not even a question. Dame destroys him.
Yeah.
Because even though Shaq's saying, like, I won 5 titles, all he does is take, like, he'll take really famous songs from the 90s and basically rap over them and then just plug Dame's name in certain spots, but say the exact rap that it was. And Dame comes up with his own beat and his own music and his own raps. So
I know Dame is a better rapper.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Ruthless Lupe is very familiar with rapping and the art of the game, as
Ooh.
It were.
You know what we should do for our show is just let Ruthless Lupe go off on Dame Dollar.
I've been trying to get Ruthless Lupe to create a track so that we can intro with Ruthless Lupe.
I like that. I like
and
that.
And really get him out there in
we
the world.
We definitely should. We definitely need to get a Ruthless Lupe track as our intro music.
Look, P. Diddy has called me twice trying to get Ruthless Lupe features, and he just doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, back to the Trailblazers. We're doing 20 minutes of division, so we're a little sidetracked.
There went 10 of them. So, you know, they were 53-29. They got rid of Maurice Harkless and Seth Curry and Evan Turner and Enes Kanter and Farouk Aminu and Nasir Little.
True.
So,
any
of
those players really matter?
Well, I feel like Aminu had kind of a big role. I don't know that you can't upgrade from him, but, you know, and everyone's acting like now that Maurice Harkless is on the Clippers, he's the next coming of power forwards or something, even though.
Good defensive player.
Right.
We'll get to the Clippers, but Seth Curry and Evan Turner are both kind of significant there. Seth Curry's a great shooter. Not necessarily getting a lot of minutes, but a very good shooter, can spread the floor. Evan Turner is just a good ball handler. playing point guard when Dame or McCollum are off the floor.
Yeah, and when you got to sit Dame or McCollum, then those two can they can at least hold their weight a little bit and take care of things. So I'll be curious to see how that looks going forward. They picked up Kent Bazemore, Hassan Whiteside, Anthony Tolliver, Pau Gasol, and Mario Hezonja.
Really, Pau Gasol? I didn't realize he was a Blazer.
Hezonja.
Yeah. Mario Hezonja.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Mario Hezonja. Yeah. Never heard of that guy. I don't know. No, he's unimportant.
He dunked on LeBron last year, didn't he?
Was
that Mario Hezonja?
He dunked on LeBron at one point,
I
believe.
Are there two Hezonjas in the league?
I could be thinking of
no, the one last year, Hezonja blocked a LeBron game-winning shot attempt.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's what Hezonja did last season. That's his claim to fame.
LeBron was hurt all year, so it doesn't really count. So I think they're closing five because we're doing closing fives, not starting fives.
Yeah.
One important addition. I don't know if this is if you count this as an addition, but Nurkic will be back. Nurkic.
Yeah, Yusuf Nurkic.
Right. And so
Kris Kringle.
If he's healthy,
it's not Christmas.
Isn't he? He's the anti. Every time we've gone to a Blazers game, he's been the anti Rudy Gobert, right? He's been able to score on Rudy.
Nurkic is a really tough player, but he broke his leg late last year, right. So he probably won't be back until February or right. March at the earliest. And if you look at guys who have broken their legs in the way he did, Paul George, Gordon Hayward, they don't come back 100% for a couple of years.
Right.
So
because of that, I kind of listed him as a question mark for their closing five. If he's good and he's healthy again, then I put him in the closing five instead of Whiteside.
Okay.
But if he's hurt and for the start of the season, obviously, it'd be Whiteside, Collins, Hood, McCollum, and Lillard, which is the same as their starting five because those are their five best players. They're going to get
so Zach minutes. Collins, you've got Rodney Hood, CJ, and Dame.
Yeah. So I feel like that's how it would go. As far as their best case and worst case, if Jay Nurk comes back and plays like he did before, then they might be able to make it into the playoffs. I feel like the West got so much better that they're going to have a hard time getting in. I don't see them losing that much shooting and not having Nurkic. Man, I suck at that guy's name.
Those Eastern European names are tough for you, huh?
They are terrible.
Eastern European and Pacific Islanders. It's really tough being a BYU fan.
It is. That's why I stick to Jay Nurk. We're just going to call him Jay Nurk, and everyone knows who I'm talking about.
Perfect.
So if Jay Nurk is good, then they can maybe sneak in there at the 8 spot. Worst case for them is that they're going to linger around the 9-10 spot all year. They're not going to be able to get a good draft pick. They're not going to trade anyone away because they're going to think they're going to make the playoffs, and then they're going to be stuck in no man's land of the NBA.
Okay, perfect. So that's almost 7 minutes on the Blazers. Who we got next?
Three of those are about Shaq and Dame, so we'll be all right.
Fair.
So the Timberwolves won't spend as much time. They're not good. They got Ryan Saunders as their new coach. He was a, interim coach last year.
Yeah, the son of Flip Saunders.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they gave him full coaching responsibilities.
Yeah.
One concern about him is that he was the nice guy to Tom Thibodeau last year. He was the, good cop.
Yeah.
And so now that he's got to be the bad cop, are they going to like him as much as they did and want to play for him and stuff? Because sometimes guys have a hard time making the transition from being the good cop to being the bad cop. Or he needs to hire a bad cop assistant who can be a jerk to everybody, and then he can be still be the good cop all the time.
Yeah, that's the thing. But that's a really tough role as a head coach to be the guy who's not getting down on your players consistently.
Right.
So we'll see how that works.
Yep. So they lost Anthony Tolliver, Taj Gibson, Lul Deng, Jared Bayless, and Derrick Rose. And those five are not that impressive to me, so
none of those really matter.
They picked up Jake Lehman, Shabazz Napier, Jordan Bell, Noah, good luck
Vonleh.
On that.
Vonleh.
Okay. And then Trevor Graham.
None of those really strike a chord either.
Cool, all right. Wasn't Shabazz Napier, was he on the Clippers last year?
I'm not sure who Napier played with last year. I know he was drafted by the Heat when they were trying to keep LeBron.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was unsuccessful.
His name, possibly because his name Shabazz stands out to me, but I don't think he's that good.
They had a Shabazz Muhammad as well. Shabbat Shalom.
And then Jordan Bell, he played for the Warriors, so he brings his championship experience to raise all the boats with that time.
Yeah, the experience of Jordan Bell getting on the court in pressure games.
He definitely played the last few minutes of some championship games. So their projected closing five is the same as their starting five, and that's Karl-Anthony Towns, Wiggins, Robert Covington, Jeff Teague. Oh, and Josh Okogie is actually a backup, but he's a good shooter.
I really like Okogie. So good defensive player, too.
I think he'll get his I think he'll get his.
Okogie was a Timberwolf.
No, Napier. Sorry.
Oh, Napier played it. Okay, yeah.
Brooklyn.
Thanks, nice. Tommy.
There you go, Tommy. So
Research
I think
Lupe. Research Lupe. That's what you could turn
ooh,
change
you
your
go.
Name to.
That could be your new rap name, and then you could just rap statistics at Dame Dollar and see what happens. So I think Okogie will finish the games, even though he doesn't start them.
Yeah.
The best case is that Wiggins and Cat improve, and everybody buys in. To what Saunders is selling, and they win the same amount of games because they're not very good at basketball. And the worst case is that they realize they're still the Timberwolves, and I put 14 is coming because that would be the number of years they have not made the playoffs.
I think with the Timberwolves, though, like Karl-Anthony Towns, he thinks he's better than he is. Don't get me wrong. He's a fantastic player.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole issue with Jimmy Butler a couple years ago, he felt like he was more of a superstar then, and hasn't really rise to shine. Don't get me wrong. Fantastic player, probably the best player on that team, but just hasn't impressed me lately.
Really. I mean, for me, I think I sum up the Timberwolves with just they're underachieving. I don't see guys with a lot of heart. Karl-Anthony Towns has all the talent in the world, but when push comes to shove, he tends to wilt. Andrew Wiggins is one of the most overrated and disappointing players in the NBA right now, especially based on his contract. So, yeah, I agree with both of you guys about the Timberwolves. They're just not really that much of a threat.
Yeah, that trade for Kevin Love is looking genius right now.
Yeah, right.
And those two guys, I feel like they both were really good coming up all the way, and so they never had to get pushed real hard on being good. Mm-hmm. And so now that they're in with players who are as good as them, they really don't know how to handle that situation at all.
Yeah.
So then the next one's the Jazz.
Okay, tell us about the Jazz. I'll see if I have anything to add.
I mean, I'm pretty thorough. So
I haven't heard about them.
I don't think you'll know anything I don't know about the Jazz. So they picked up Mike Conley, Bojan Bogdanovic, Jeff Green, Ed Davis, and Emmanuel Mudiay. And they lost Ricky Rubio, Derek Favors, Jay Crowder, Kyle Korver, and Grayson Allen. Other than Derek Favors and Jay Crowder, I feel like were bad losses for him.
There's one loss that matters there, and that's Derek Favors.
Right. But I think fans like Jay Crowder a lot. So the projected starting five or finishing this. Okay. This is what I think their projected finishing five will be is Mike, Donnie, Jingles, Bogdo, and Gobert. Right.
And okay. So you've got Conley, Mitchell, Jingles, Gobert, Joe Ingles, and Bogdanovich yep. closing. I think that's yep. fair.
And it lists them as the starting five as well. But I think that at least at the start, I mean, Quinn
Ingles
Snyder,
isn't going to start.
That's what I was going to say. Is that Jingles should be coming off the bench. He's a good ball handler. He's a good scorer. He can help the second unit, and they could put Royce O'Neal in as a starter and let him D up so that that Donnie and Mike don't have to do as much effort.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the end, you know, he should be in with the starting four.
Yeah.
And Jingles.
Yep.
So that's where I think. Best case scenario, they take the Rockets to 7 in the Western Conference Finals and have the usual Jazz season. And
well, I mean, going to game 7 in the conference finals isn't the usual Jazz season.
But
are you talking a regular season?
I'm talking about losing to the Rockets in the playoffs.
Oh, okay. So you're still bitter.
I'm not bitter at all.
You seem bitter. Every time the Jazz come up, you just want to take shots. It's like
how
is
that,
the only opportunity.
How is that a shot?
It's fine.
It's
fine.
Happened two out of the last two
years. We're moving
on. Worst case, trading defense for scoring doesn't win championships, nor does it win divisions, and they only win 45 games and don't make the playoffs.
Wow.
I don't think that'll happen, but would that be the worst case scenario?
That would be a pretty bad scenario.
Terrible scenario. They know
what Jazz fans are looking for
exactly.
this year.
And
yeah.
Like, they're the two seed. They're the second pick. That would be a terrible scenario for the Jazz. I covered it pretty thoroughly, though. Do you have anything to add?
I agree with a lot of what you said. The Derek Favors, Jay Crowder losses, the fans are going to think they're more, those losses are bigger than they really are. But with the shooting that they brought in, I want to talk about Bojan Bogdanovic a little bit. Bogdanovic is an excellent shooter from both corner spots. He's a terrific ball handler. Tommy's over here making crude gestures toward me, but he knows I scouted Bogdanovic in the playoffs with Tommy. I've been looking at Bogdanovic for a long time. And he's
very extensively.
He's
somewhat unhealthy.
Hey, when I go to practice, they make, you know, it's 10 feet away at least when Bogdanovic comes over for the interviews. But whatever, I do what I got
to
do.
That's just for you. Everyone else can get as close as they want, but you have to stay 10 feet away.
Yeah, pretty much. The big thing for the Jazz is I think they have a lot of depth and versatility. They've got seven potential starters. You mentioned Joe Ingles and Jeff Green. Those guys will be coming off the bench most of the time, but they have depth at every position, I feel like. My concerns are at the backup point guard is if Emmanuel Mudiay doesn't learn how to play defense in the Quinn Snyder system, and then if there's an injury at center and Tony Bradley has to get significant minutes. He's put up good numbers in the preseason, but I don't think he's athletic enough to play against most NBA centers.
Right, because last year they had favors come in if Rudy got hurt, but this year, is that their only option, is Bradley?
They've got Ed Davis. The thing about the Jazz is they're a lot smaller this year, obviously losing favors. Ed Davis is 6'10", but he's 220.
Oh, yeah.
So he's just a long 6'10", very springy, great rebounder, but if he's got a bang against guys, it's going to be tough going for the Jazz that way.
Long night. All right.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Name Change Pending. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Name Change Pending and subscribe to get the newest episodes of the podcast and to check out photos of hosts Josh Keel, Tommy Girone, and Brian Preece as we travel the continent to do what we love, watch sports. Also, I know you've got a lot going on today, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your busy schedule to give the podcast a 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice, we would greatly appreciate it. Those algorithms can be tricky, and all I know is that 5-star ratings jump us up the lists. So thanks for tuning in, and now back to the show.
Next people, the Denver Nuggets. They didn't lose really anybody of note. They picked up Jeremy Grant and Bol Bol.
Yeah, also, Bol Bol. Projected lottery pick at the start of the season for Oregon.
And then he hurt got
his
hurt.
Foot.
Yeah,
and so yeah
then he
hurt
just
his
tapped
foot
out.
Like 8 games in, didn't play again. So he dropped a lot.
And then another pickup that I don't know if you count him as a pickup because I don't know that he played that much this last year, but it was Michael Porter Jr. coming off his back injury.
He missed the whole year.
That's what I thought. So if you count him as a pickup as well, then him and Bol Bol and Jeremy Grant, which two of those guys have injury histories. So if they can come off of that and be good, then that's great additions. And if not, then, you know, it is what it is. They were 54-28 last year and took second in the West. Their projected starters. Oh, their coach.
Mike Malone. Yeah, Malone.
Okay, that's not the team I was thinking of. I got a different team. Okay, so their projected closing five for me is Jokic, Millsap, Murray, Barton, and then Gary Harris. Or depending on health, Michael Porter, because supposedly he's just off the charts great. So if he comes through and is what he's supposed to be, he could earn those minutes as he'll count as a rookie, right? He's a Ben Simmons rookie.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. That red shirt year.
Yeah. So basically, their best case scenario would be get a little better with the consistency that they have in their lineup. You know, they're fine tuning things right now in preseason, not learning new things. So they might be able to get home court throughout the playoffs. And get to the Western Conference Finals and then see what happens there. Their worst case is that last year was a fluke, and they're the 2015 Atlanta Hawks, and they go back to being a 4 or 5 seed, and that's it because that's who they are.
So I think the Nuggets are going to be really good. You mentioned the 15 Atlanta Hawks as kind of a model for if they fall off. And I can see that being possible with the Nuggets. The thing is, with their early season schedule last year, it was a really soft early season schedule, so they were able to win a lot of games and build momentum, and then they played significantly worse from February on, but their record was so good going into the end of the season that it didn't matter.
Yeah, they could take the hit on their record from that.
And this year, they don't have that soft schedule to start the season, so it'll be interesting to see what they do, but if some of their players, like Jamal Murray, can take another step, Paul Millsap continues to be a great option with them. Gary Harris was hurt a lot of last year. So if he's healthy and effective, the Nuggets could be very good, challenging for the top of the West.
Right. And then the last one's Oklahoma City. How much time do you want to spend on them? They're not going to be good. They were 49-33 last year.
The lineup they have right now, that roster, could be good.
I know they're kind of stuck a little bit. I was reading it. And so their roster, right, is Chris Paul, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That one. And then Terrence Ferguson, Gallinari, and then Steven Adams. Their starting five could be okay, but I don't know anyone else on their roster that can buoy the load once they go out, right? Their pickups were Chris Paul and Gallinari and G. Alex, that guy. And then their departures slightly hurt by their departures of Russell Westbrook and Paul George. So
that's a kind of a shot there.
Those two might have a big win differential for him going into the into the next season. Their best case to me is that they lose a lot of games, they get a lot of lottery picks, and they can use all those, the ton of picks that they have, or they can get high picks and trade them for good players and rebuild quicker. Their worst case scenario is that, like you said, that team could be good and they could hang around 9 or 10 spot and then still not make the playoffs and then not get good picks and kind of sabotage their tanking effort.
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure if you said this or not, but I think the best case scenario for the Thunder is that they're just good enough to be effective and let Chris Paul really showcase his wares early in the season and then trade Chris Paul for some additional draft picks. I think, I want to say they picked up 6 or 7 first-round draft picks between the Clippers and the Russell Westbrook and Jeremy Grant trades.
Right.
So they have a war chest going forward.
Yeah, I think they ended up getting like 11 or 12 total picks because they got some second and third.
Yeah.
There's some first and seconds going forward both rounds. And so they got
And they have all
picks.
Their own picks.
Yeah.
So really the Thunder kind of they would never say it. No team would. But I think the Thunder want to be bad this year.
Right.
They want to be good enough early to make some trades. Moving guys like Steven Adams and Chris Paul, something they would like to do.
The article I read actually said they want to hold on to Adams because of, you know, what he brings to the table. He's harder to replace than Chris Paul.
Yeah.
And Chris Paul has all that money that they want to dump that as fast as they can.
The thing is, they already have replacements on the roster for Chris Paul because they've got Dennis Schroeder and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Right.
Alexander was terrific with the Clippers last year. Out of all those first-round picks, Alexander was probably the biggest get for them.
Right.
In the Paul George deal.
And Schroeder, I remember when the Jazz were playing the Thunder, every time Westbrook would go out and Schroeder was coming in, I'd think, man, it's not really fair that that's their backup. That guy should be starting on the
Schroeder's a good player, just a little inconsistent.
Yeah. So that's the Thunderers.
So who do you have winning the division? Like, what's your division order?
Probably Nuggets, Jazz, Blazers.
Okay, so that's the top three. All three making the playoffs? Well, we'll get to playoff predictions.
Yeah, we'll get to playoffs, yeah.
Okay. All right, so now we're going to move on. Actually, that'll conclude the episode with the Northwest Division. Tomorrow, we're going to return with the Southwest Division. Tommy will be telling us about those teams.
Woo, woo.